today we announced that we have completed what we believe is a very comprehensive investigation into the tragic death of Anthony Anderson, which occurred on September 21st, 2012, while in police custody. And as a result of that investigation, we have concluded that criminal charges are not warranted against any of the three officers who were involved in Mr. Anderson's arrest. Our investigation determined that it was Detective Todd Stroman's actions that caused the death while of Mr. Anderson during the course of the legitimate arrest. His use of force to effectuate that arrest was not excessive to a degree that would warrant criminal prosecution. Instead, the evidence establishes that the officer used an objectively reasonable amount of force under the circumstances based on the law and Baltimore Police Department training guidelines regarding use of force. And finally, Ann, before your next question, I would say that when I said initially that the investigation was comprehensive, it included interviews of all the family members of Mr. Anderson who observed some parts of the event, numerous witnesses who were on the scene, the police officers themselves, the assistant medical examiner, forensic evidence and analysis, and other forms of investigation.
Whenever you have these cases where a family has been very vocal and very critical of their loved one's death and critical of the police department and their handling of a case like this, it obviously, at least from a observer standpoint, seems to put a bit of pressure or change the direction of the importance of a case like that. So how much pressure do you feel when these things come around to really get this right? Obviously, you always want to get them right, but to really take the time you just mentioned about how extensive, you know, your investigation was into this.
Right, Ann, and that's a great question. You know, I wouldn't use the word pressure, but what I would say is that these cases, of course, are unique. I mean, whenever you have officers in the performance of their duties involved in a situation that results in either non-fatal or fatal injuries, you need to be extremely careful and thorough about how you conduct the investigation. I mean, it's a totally different paradigm from, say, a situation in which a bad guy shoots a bad guy, that kind of thing. We had a meeting with the family members this morning before we made this announcement so that I could tell them personally what our conclusions were. As you might imagine, they are very upset with our decision, and that's understandable, and I told them that. And the only thing that I could offer them was hopefully some form of closure in the sense that I am confident that our investigation was as thorough as it possibly could be. And I say that because I personally was involved in the investigation along with a number of assistant state's attorneys and detectives from the Baltimore Police Department.
I know your statement is several pages long, and I didn't get to read all of it, but is there any way, Greg, to kind of put this, maybe talk a little bit about what you looked into when it came to Detective Stroman, since I know you said he was the person that was integral in this, you know, that you can make this kind of a nuts and bolts explanation for a little bit?
Sure, Ann. Okay. I think I can. I mean, in essence, remembering the categories of people that we spoke to and the evidence we looked at, I mean, what our investigation determined is that Detective Stroman and the other two detectives were on routine patrol in a very high crime, high narcotics area, observed what they thought was a drug transaction occurring between Mr. Anderson and another individual. And when they approached in their vehicle, a lot of people standing around called out 5-0 knockers. That's all slang for the police department. And the two men, Mr. Anderson and the other unknown individual, split, walking in different directions. Detective Stroman jumped out of the car and attempted to get Mr. Anderson to stop, and he looked over his shoulder and just kept walking, quickening his pace. Detective Stroman started to run up to him, and at that point, Mr. Anderson started to put a plastic baggie in his mouth, which they believe contained the suspected narcotics, and Detective Stroman grabbed his arms in a bear hug and took him down to the ground, falling on top of him. The search of the scene uncovered a plastic baggie containing three gel capsules, which contained heroin, which were the baggie that Mr. Anderson was trying to put into his mouth. And they also found a partially chewed gel capsule of heroin that our investigation determined had Mr. Anderson's DNA on it. After Mr. Anderson was taken to the hospital and sadly passed away, the autopsy revealed that he died from a ruptured spleen that was caused by the blunt force trauma when Detective Stroman took him down to the ground. Sadly, unfortunately, Mr. Anderson had an enlarged spleen, which was caused by a diseased liver, which was not processing blood as efficiently as it might otherwise, and that causes the blood to build up in the spleen and also limits your ability for blood to clot. So in essence, the blunt trauma is what caused the spleen to rupture, and Mr. Anderson died from internal bleeding.
Greg, when this kind of thing happens and you have to look at this in your investigation, an investigation of this magnitude for something like this, I know I think in some of your comments you mentioned about 2020 hindsight. I mean, this is always sometimes an issue, isn't it, about trying to figure out, interviewing the police officers on the scene, but then in particularly the one officer where the person in custody dies, as part of that. I can only imagine that just makes this much more complex.
Right, and it does. And that's what makes these cases unique, of course. But under the law, what we have to look at is the objective reasonableness of the detective's actions. And as you quite correctly point out, we are not governed by 20/20 hindsight. We have to look at the perspective of a reasonable officer on the scene. And in the calculus about what constitutes reasonable use of force includes the consideration of split-second judgments that officers are often required to make in sometimes tense, uncertain, and rapidly evolving situations when confronting criminal suspects who may possess illegal contraband or a weapon. I mean, that's the framework which we have to operate in making these kinds of decisions. And it's important to remember that, and I've told the family this, that it is indeed tragic that Mr. Anderson died as a result of this incident. Very sad, very unfortunate. But the evidence does not indicate that Detective Stroman acted with any intent to murder, certainly, or cause serious bodily harm, which are the standards that we operate under.
So this part of it is done for all of you. I mean, are there any lessons learned from something like this from your side?
Well, I would say two things. And first, that as I said earlier today, and I've told the family, the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice has also taken an interest in this case and is conducting an investigation. I have met with representatives of the Civil Rights Division responsible for this investigation, along, and the detectives from the police department have as well. We've given them our complete file, all the witness interviews, all the reports and analyses. We've told them that we will fully cooperate in their own independent investigation for them to make their own judgments about what happened. The officers also are facing administrative action, which is yet to be determined. I mean, the police department will have to decide what, if any, administrative action should happen. That's for them to decide. And, you know, in the lessons learned department, I think that, you know, the police officers have very difficult jobs, and they work in very difficult situations where they have to make split-second judgments when confronted with suspects who they believe have engaged in criminal activity. And that, of course, doesn't bring Mr. Anderson back, and it's sad that he died, but that's the framework we have to look at. And I'm sure Commissioner Batts, who is doing really a top-down review and analysis of all aspects of the police department, I mean, he's very committed, even though he's only been here a few months, he's very committed to looking at all aspects of the police department. I'm sure training is something else that he will look at, and he'll make his own judgments, which is appropriate, as to what, if any, additional, you know, training protocols should be implemented.